This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Without further ado, let's welcome Chris Matthews to our show this morning.
Hey, how you doing up there?
We're doing great. I understand you're a native of Pennsylvania, so quasi.
Oh, a native
home.
Philadelphia, Northeast Philly, right on the Bucks County border, Somerton. Yeah, that's where I'm from.
So have you been in Scranton and Wilkes-Barre, Chris?
I've been up there. I gave the Friendly Sun speech at Scranton twice now. All our doctors, the Cohen brothers, are all from up there. My friends, the Caseys, are from up there. The Condreds are from up there. My wife's best friend at school, Kelly Kennedy's father's from up there. Now we got some roots up in Scranton.
I like how you name-dropped the Scrantonians. I find that nice.
Well, the Irish have taken over all the mansions from the old WASP that used to own them, so they're up there selling holy water or whatever up there. They're doing okay.
Yeah. Before we get to the book, which we will, I would be remiss in my duties if I didn't ask you your thoughts on the dismissal of Matt Lauer from NBC today. How well do you know Matt?
Well, I know him pretty well. I got the message, I guess we all did, at 6:49 this morning. 6:49 it moved from Andy Lack to us. And it sounds like the decision to fire him was made last night, I guess. And it sounds like they've been deliberating on this for 24 hours or so. I'm just trying to interpret what I've gotten out of this very short message.
And obviously, Chris, at some point today, you're going to have to talk about this from your perspective somewhere, right? So
yeah.
When you hear things like this, are you in disbelief? Are you shocked? Are you
saddened? Well, I'm hard to shock.
Okay.
I know the guy only is really on the air, starting back in the 90s. He is very professional about the way he does the show. He gets up every day and does. He's a great interviewer, and yet people still like him. He's a tough interviewer that people still like, which is a real challenge to be both. Anybody can be likable, but not everybody, but it's easy to be likable, but it's hard to be likable and be a tough interviewer. And he seems to be able to handle the lighter stuff and also the deadly serious stuff really well. I don't know. Knowing the way the media covers the media now, we're going to know everything in 24 hours. I mean, we are really focused on, certainly at the highest level that he was at. I was just thinking that, I was talking about this with my producer yesterday, all the famous names I grew up around, starting with like Peter Jennings and Dan Rather and my God, all of them, and Charlie Rosenow and Brian Williams, everybody has either passed away or suffered a major career fall in just the last 10 years or so. It's been all over the place. Larry King, it's just been all over the place. I mean, I don't know who's left of the Kings. I can't think of one.
Yeah, it does put it in perspective.
And the Queens, Barbara Walters retired, but she had about the best run you could ever have. Diane Sawyer retired after a fantastic, clean career. Those two women went out on top. But it's getting very hard to go out on top these days. This is the scrutiny's brutal. and the people's are they're people with their own problems we didn't know about. I didn't know all this Charlie Rose thing.
Do you know him well, Chris?
I knew Charlie Rose pretty well. I like him a lot. I've always felt an affection both ways. I feel I always liked him. I still like my wife and I. I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, charm is one thing, and when you meet people occasionally and they're charming and fun and upbeat, that goes for a lot with friendships. You don't know what the other darker stuff is. I know one thing. Men don't talk about this stuff. You never hear about some guy saying, I got this woman to do something by forcing her to do something. I mean, I think guys like to think of themselves, most guys, as being attractive and charming and winsome. They don't think of themselves as bullies when it comes to women. But you know, certainly don't hear people talk about it, so it's almost always a secret, what this bad stuff that goes on.
When you read the stuff about Charlie Rose, and it was pretty detailed, did you like him less after that? Did you think, how could you do this to people? And certainly, in the media, Chris, you know it's very hard to break into the media. So these women said over and over again, I just wanted the work. I just wanted a chance. I just wanted a job, because it is so difficult to get work.
Yeah, I know that this. My daughter is just going to be in the workplace next year. I'm thinking that's a great question. How do you integrate all your feelings towards somebody with what you heard about them secondhand? I mean, heard about them otherwise, which you believe. I think it affects the way you think about people. I mean, look how did we put together Bill Clinton in one package? I once talked to Dede Meyers about Bill Clinton, and we all know everything, pretty much everything about Bill Clinton. I mean, you could be a defender, but you still know it all. And she said, it's all true. The good, the bad, everything. It's all true. You know, and I think that's true about the people I write about. You know, I think it's all true. It's not like you got to take it all. And then I don't know if you ever really put it down on a table and say, well, let's weigh this against that and let's combine it in some sort of formula about the person and say, here's what I think. It's generally you don't like people, you don't like them. And then you learn they did things bad. You know those things, but you still like them. I'm not sure likability and friendship. I mean, I just wrote this book about Bobby Kennedy.
Right.
And he liked Joe McCarthy to the end. He went off to the gravesite for the guy. He was so distraught. His daughter Kathleen said he drove around the airport 3 times when he heard that Joe had drank himself to death. But he had condemned him. He knew he had learned from the mistakes of McCarthy. But he loved the guy. And I'm not sure love and moral merit are judged together. I don't think we judge together. I think you can. Well, fiction's filled with these incredibly attractive, Long John Silver, these people that are incredibly attractive, Orson Welles and the Third Man, awful people that are incredibly magnetic as personalities. That's the case of life.
To get to your book, though, and to talk about the Kennedys and the way that, you know, some people have a picture of Jesus Christ and they have a picture of John Kennedy next to each other, there was a lot of adulation for sure for them as a family, an institution, Camelot, all that stuff. And yeah, as we both know, Chris, they also had some issues and some secrets.
Well, it's not Mary Jo Kopechne from up there.
Sure.
I mean, we all, these are facts. And the way that Ted Kennedy handled that thing or didn't handle it at Chappaquiddick was awful. And there's no excuses for it beyond, I mean, there's unbelievable horror there and wrongdoing. And Jack's promiscuity was all over the place. And the risks he was taking, besides the moral misbehavior, was unbelievable. But we were protected at the time by the fact that the Kennedys were, no matter what anybody says, they were discreet generally compared to today. And they didn't go out having dinner with people like Hollywood people do. They didn't throw it in people's faces. But, the President of the United States is supposed to behave differently. And if it had gotten out that he was having an affair with Sam Giancana's girlfriend, Judy Campbell, the Al Capone successor, a hitman, and he's hanging out with the same woman, I don't know what would have happened. I mean, it didn't get out at the time, but it was real, I can tell you that. And Bobby was scared to death of this stuff. He was always trying to get his brother to stop hanging around with Sinatra, who was mobbed up, and stop dealing with these people. But Jack was a daring dude sort of guy who just wouldn't, he had to have it forced upon him. You know, he had to tell Johnny, stop hanging around with Sinatra. And he had to get somebody to go in and warn him about Judy Campbell, and ended up it took Jagger Hoover to get Jack to stop having his affair with Judy Campbell. And then Jack later was involved with Ellen Romish, who was a German. It was unquestionable what she was up to. And he'd gone out with Inga Binga back in the 40s. And, you know, Inga Binga had her picture taken at Hermann Göring's wedding. Her picture taken actually with Hitler. And Jagger Hoover was all after that relationship. I mean, and you still look up to Jack Kennedy as one of our greatest presidents. I do. I don't know how we put it together, but you have to intellectually put it together, and morally you deal with it, you know?
Yeah. In terms of Robert Kennedy's place in the family, he's kind of a mid-pack, and it's a tough place to be because he had, obviously, these individuals to look up to, and there were some people in this family that were very esteemed. So as the middle of the packer, how did that shape his early life and his career in politics?
Well, so you know, you're leading me into exactly what the book's about. I think everybody remembers, I mean, Wordsworth, the poet, said, the child is father to the man. In other words, more powerful than our parents are to us are our memories of being a kid. Our memories of being a kid really are our parents. It tells us about life. If you're born short, the short kid in the family, the runt, as Joe Kennedy called his son Bobby, the runt, the 5'8 kid rather than the 6-foot brothers, they're the big stars of the family. You're the nobody. In fact, literally the nobody in the family. I call him the Irish kid that wasn't going to get the land. He wasn't going to get anything until he got really tough, became a jock at Harvard, won his letter at Harvard, became his brother's top enforcer. For all those 10 years or so, he's just the enforcer, the tough guy, the ruthless guy. Only then did Joe Kennedy, the father, pay any attention to him. That's the only way he could win the father's love. And it took him a long time to outgrow his father. I think really what changed at the end was Bobby's father had that stroke and couldn't push him around anymore. And Bobby began to be the Bobby he wanted to be from the beginning, which is a pretty sweet young kid who cared about people, who wasn't a ruthless guy. And at the end, the last 5 years or so, Bobby really was looking out for people like himself who had been overlooked in life.
And the circumstances of his rise, I mean, we look now at the Trumps in the White House, obviously, and the family relationships of individuals who are tied closely to the president. Those family relationships, Chris, was that an acceptable way to govern at the time to actually say, here's my brother?
It's a terrible way to govern. I mean, nepotism, well, you know where the word nepotism comes from. I mean, it means the Pope has a kid. They called him nephewism, but the joke was they weren't his nephews, they were his kids. And nephewism or nepotism is a terrible thing because once you hire a kid, you know, you can't fire him. And the only thing, the only difference between Bobby and, say, Jared Kushner is that Bobby was competent to be one of the great attorney generals of all times, which he was, leading a whole fight for civil rights in the South and guiding his brother through the Cuban Missile Crisis and everything else he did, besides also trying to keep his brother out of trouble with the mob and girlfriends, doing all that. Kushner's probably going to end up getting his father in trouble, father-in-law in trouble. So Bobby was looking out for the president. This president, I think it's going to turn out. We don't know for sure. Nobody does. He's looking. He's worrying about what his kids, Don Jr. said to some Russian, or what deal Jared was cooking up with the Russians. I mean, he shouldn't have to have relatives to worry about. I know most presidents do. Like Jimmy Carter had Billy Carter, and Nixon had and his brother, Don Nixon, causing trouble with him. But now they've got relatives right in the White House causing trouble. That's a problem.
Well, we'll see how it shakes out, and I think it's too premature to
tell. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? I think President Trump will be president for 4 years, so we'll see.
Yeah, and I think some of it is just wishing doesn't make it so, but we'll see, because I don't think we have the goods yet, and we'll wait to see what happens.
That's right.
But in terms of, let's go back to Robert Kennedy, who you write about in your new book, and that's really why you're here today. When you look at the situation where you say he was a great attorney general, the enforcer, somebody who was adept and skilled at handling a multitude of situations, whether they be personal, professional, governmental. What do you think would have happened should he have been elected president of the United States? What do you see as the things that we missed out on because he was killed?
Well, first of all, Roy is recognized as one of the great attorneys general because, I mean, the building is now named after him, the Justice Department building. But I think, you know, the issue of the time in 1968 was the Vietnam War, and he really wanted to end it, and he wanted to have negotiations then involving the political wing of the Viet Cong and the government in Saigon. He wanted them to get together and form, he didn't say a coalition government, but to try to end the fighting. So he understood that the thing was a stalemate back then. It would end up a stalemate. It wasn't going to change, and that the Vietnamese were going to stay in that country on the other side from us. They were going to be there when we left. It's just a question of when we do leave. And whenever we left, they would be the powerful forces. Like, they just weren't going to be. So we had to deal with them. And Bobby, you're going to kill all of them. You can't kill all the Viet Cong. They're a big part of the country. So I think the Vietnam War would have been, we lost, if you get down to the Vietnam Memorial, half the people died after 68. Hopefully, with an earlier negotiation that we had, instead of in 72, 73, it would have been in 69. And we would have had probably the same exact deal, which is we get to leave and bring home our POWs. That we wouldn't have gotten much, but we might have gotten even a better deal back then, who knows. But we would have had to deal our way out of there. What else? I think that the divisions we're in today, the class divisions, a lot of this stuff, the hard hats versus the long hairs, all that was well underway back in 68, 69. And I think the sort of fight down in America between the educated elite, and as I refer to them as their endless Carole King concerts celebrating themselves, that group is so alienated now from the regular old working-class Democratic Party of Irish, Italians, Polish people, that it seems like it always was that way. But it wasn't always that way. That's really grown since the Vietnam War, when the elite turned against the war, and the working people, the hard had stuck with it. So I really think if we had ended that war and that division hadn't occurred, it wouldn't be like it is today. Today there's that vicious division by class that and education, I guess, that has caused so much trouble. And I think that wouldn't have been. Bobby's people, as so many people have said, his people were cops and waitresses and firefighters. He was never an elite guy. I remember the first I heard about him was that when I was a Capitol cop, that he was the guy that the only liberal Democratic senator who always paid attention and said hello to the cops when he came in the morning. And he was a guy they called his staff people who called him Bob. It was much his friends were these people who worked with him. He wasn't an aristocrat like Jack at all. And I think that division, Bobby would have worked against it. I think we'd be a more united country. Look at the people who saluted him along the train tracks when his body was taken by at the end from New York to Washington. It's all working, poor white people saluting him. It's all these pictures in my book. It's so powerfully emotional, that connection, that gut patriotism that these families felt towards Bobby Kennedy. That's all not in the Democratic Party anymore. It's just gone.
How do you, and I don't like them. I want to be perfectly clear with you. I don't like political dynasties in family. I just don't like it.
I'm with you. Well, I don't think there's any reason for them except that the Kennedys really weren't a dynasty. It was the two brothers, and the third brother benefited from the
right?
two brothers.
Yeah,
but he was never in power, never in politics. Well, he never elected anything.
He spent a long time in Washington. Did he have no power? Ted?
Who, Joe?
Ted.
Yeah, okay, you can call that a dynasty. I don't think, like, everybody runs around saying how Joe, the kid now, the grandson of Bobby, should be a president. I go, what, are you kidding me? You know, you got to prove yourself. And that's the trouble in Washington today. It's not just the dynasties. People are running around saying, well, this person would be a great president. I say, who? Oh, they're so attractive. I go, what? Attractive? Is that how we do it now? So Kamala Harris from California, who's been in office about a month, she's going to be president of the United States. Cory Booker's going to be president. What, are you kidding me? Where's all this? What have they done? And I don't ever go by blood. I mean, I don't know why people would want somebody elected just because they're related to somebody. But I think Bobby proved himself, and later on, Teddy, much more of a mixed bag, did become a very good senator. I mean, I'm not beating his drum, but he did become a very good senator. And there is a lot of this talk about Joe, and I'm with you on that. I am.
All right. Well, Chris Matthews, it was so great of you to be on today to talk about.
So you're in Pittston, huh?
Yeah, stop by
right
next time.
Between Wilkes-Barre and Scranton, right?
Yes, conveniently located between the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Feel free to stop in, Chris, when you're in town.
I'm trying to think of who I know from up there. I just who I know from Clark.
Clark.
A guy named Clark. He's a coal lobbyist. I know him.
First name, last name. Clark. Last name?
Last name Clark.
Okay, well...
Of course, it's the last name.
You never,
I don't know any Clark first name people like that.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, Chris, it was great to have you on the show today, and don't be a stranger. We'd like to have you on in the future if you're up for it.
Give me a call when you need me. Okay?
All right. Chris Matthews.
Okay.
All right. Merry Christmas. Because I cut him off because he said Christmas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.